prayer. Mentioned Larry before services how I appreciated his class this morning. Something so simple as the illustrations that he gave, even a child could make application to those applications he made concerning age and addition. But sadly, even God's people fail to understand those applications, or else we wouldn't have the divisions and such we have in the church today. We wouldn't have new things that are implemented in the church today. But again, it's the simple things, and a lack of that, people understanding the class that he's teaching, is what has led to what the Church of Christ has become today. Very few sound congregations exist today, and that's sad. Just things are start to cut out, new things are introduced. So I was thankful for that. He's done a good job of that, and looking forward to the rest of his material on that. It's something we need to learn. If we learn that, we practice that, then God's church will be sound as he intended it to be in the early stages. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul deals with the whole armor of God. And he mentions there are some things that we should take up or that we should put on or that we should stand in. And in doing this, we limit Satan's power that he has against us. In Titus chapter 2, there in talking to the elders, or chapter 1, verse 10 says, "For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers, deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped." The only way a mouth can be stopped if you have knowledge of something, of what that mouth is saying. And with failure to put on the whole armor of God, then we're unable to stop that mouth of the false teaching. He talks about here that they teach those things which they ought not. And so a knowledge of God's Word is very important. And Larry's class fit well with some of the things I will say this evening. When you look, as he dealt with definition of words, that there's many words that you can use to describe one word. But likewise, we need to understand that words were used in the New Testament. They may not have the same application as we read them of what we think they may have as we determine that meaning today. Okay? They could carry with them a different meaning. Likewise, those words used in the Bible may carry a variety of meanings. And so the idea of rightly dividing God's Word comes in to play. Okay? Vine says to rightly divide means to cut straight. And he goes on to say to teach Scriptures accurately. And that's the importance of having a knowledge of the whole armor of God. That we divide straightly what the writer may be saying. Therefore, it implies a definition of words, dispensations, and such as that. So in that, we're to rightly divide all that is incorporated in to rightly divide the Word. To do this, we do this in order to put Scripture in its proper context. Because to pull something out of context, you make a misapplication, if you will, of what God is trying to get us to see. And so we lose focus upon the true meaning of what truth is. Context is simply the set of circumstances, of facts that surround a particular event. And the Bible is filled with examples. It's the part of a written or spoken statement that precedes or follows a specific word or passage. That's context. And by that context, it influences the meaning of what the writer is saying. That truth that he is trying to get us to see. So to rightly divide not only carries with meaning that we separate certain things, such as dispensations, but that we also do not lift Scripture out of their context, okay? And again, false teachers in particular, and even preachers of the gospel, tend to take Scripture out of their context. Emphasis is put upon elders to teach the Word of God, preach, okay? It has reference, as we looked at Titus, that mouths must be stopped. So therefore, an elder must have a knowledge of that word. that when people are referring to something, maybe not in the right period of time, thought comes to my mind that we'll study later on, Lord's willing, this quarter, is instrumental music of lifting something from one dispensation and applying it to another. Okay? And we understand that. But you can also not study the context. And context could change within a verse. It could change within a paragraph. And so it's something that we need to look at. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 19. Just an example. And you heard this verse, and maybe some of you have too, when dealing with denominations. And talking to them, I've heard this verse quoted by them in verse 19. When Christ says, "But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak." And they say, "See there, I don't have to study the Bible. I was promised that He would give it. When the time arises, God's going to reveal His Word to me." And that may be true. But that's not what that verse is teaching. To prove that, you have to turn to some other verse. Okay? So when you back up and start at the beginning of this chapter, it deals with when He had called His 12 disciples. And He lists them there and He names them. And in verse 5, He gives a command to them, "Do not go the way of the Gentiles and do not enter the city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of Israel." That's your context. They were to go chosen. They were sent not to the Gentiles, but to the lost house of Israel. Down in verse 16, He tells them, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of man, for they will deliver you up to councils and synagogues to scourge you in their synagogues, and you will be brought before governors and kings for my name's sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles." So it says, when that happens to you, don't you worry what you should speak. He's referring to the 12. Verse 20, "For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." So the context that, if you take that as denomination and lift it out of context, then you miss the meaning of truth of what Jesus is speaking. And sadly, again, that's what we do a lot of times. So that's what context is. And we understand that should be fairly easy for anyone to understand. So when you look at things, the importance of that, okay? I mentioned some time back an individual named Les Felick. And I don't know if anybody's had an opportunity to watch him, but he conducts a class like in a classroom setting with people sitting at the desk. They've got their notebooks and so on. And he'll say that you write this down and you underline. There's his teacher. There's never no comments made. It's just simply him teaching that you write it down, okay? And like I say, his show is through the Bible. But in that, some time back and list that he made a distinction. And when I wrote to him, he never did respond at all of what he was meaning. So conclusion I can reach is what he was meaning. Died, okay? But he mentions that, he states that there's a distinction between the dispensation of law and the dispensation of grace. Now, in looking at that, you think he was referring to the law of Moses, there's a distinction, and the dispensation of grace. Well, they are. But that was not what he was meaning by that. He said they're totally two different operations. By this, he says, Peter was given the keys of the kingdom, but Paul was given the revelation of the mystery. That's what he was referring to as two different things. That what Peter was preaching and teaching, Paul was not. And so that's the distinction, because he did make that statement. So I gather that's what he meant by dispensations. That they're totally two different truths. And so he's implying that there's two different truths in the world today. That make an application that Paul was not sent to the Jew, but he was sent to the Gentile. God's grace at this time was upon the Gentile, because it never had been before, but it is now. And again, when you turn back to Ephesians and what Larry dealt with, and some versions may read as these verses read of what Paul is saying, when he says in verse 3, had thy revelation, or verse 2, if indeed you have heard of a dispensation of grace. And just looking at that, if that's the way your versions read, what would you think that Paul is meaning, the dispensation of grace? Well, a lot of people would apply it to a time. And that's definitely true. There is a dispensation of grace. When you look back over at verse 10 of chapter 1, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, there it was a time. A dispensation refers to a time. We have a dispensation of the patriarchs, a dispensation of the Jews, and a dispensation of grace when Christ came. But when you go back and look at it again, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, that was given me. Was a dispensation given to Paul? No. What it means there is stewardship. Paul is saying there was given to me a stewardship in this dispensation of grace to teach and preach what was revealed to me. When you drop down to verse 9, and to make all see what is the fellowship or administration or stewardship of the mystery. Paul said, this is what I was made. It's not referring to what we may think it's referring to. So Paul said, I was made a steward of the mysteries to proclaim that which Christ told Peter in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, that I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom. And you are to proclaim what those keys are. And so we understand that, but a failure to understand the meanings of words, we arrive at wrong conclusions. And that's what Les done. They're not two totally different things. Not one taught, the other taught. When Peter received the keys of the kingdom, the words to unlock something, Paul refers to it as it was a mystery that was hidden in the ages, but now has been revealed to me. So what Paul is saying, I now have those keys. So what Paul received was a mystery. Peter received the keys. They both taught the same thing. There's only one truth taught. And so there's one truth taught today. Titus chapter 2. And as you look at these verses, and there's many more you can make application to. Verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. As far as the word here says, it's appeared to all. It's not just appeared, as Les said, to the Gentiles. He said it's appeared to all men. And he tells us about this grace that's appeared to all men, that it teaches us that denying ungodly and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. When you look at that verse, what do you think it's describing, what it's teaching us? It's teaching us what we are to put off in order to be reconciled to God. That was a mystery, that Jew and Gentile would both be reconciled to God. Again, that His grace was given to all man. And it teaches how man was reconciled. That was God's eternal purpose. When you turn back to Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 16, and there's other passages you can turn to. Well, let's start with verse 14. For He is our peace, Christ, who has made us both free. Who's the both? Jew and Gentile. And has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinance, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two. This is what Les is denying, that the mystery of this dispensation of grace is only to a Gentile. And he does say later it will be offered to the Jew. But you can see, without looking, if you have no knowledge of the word, what he says may look good. Evidently he did to those people, because nobody questioned him concerning that. He goes on to say in verse 16 that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, therefore putting death the enmity. And so you have God's eternal purpose. In one place, it's called the keys to the kingdom. Another place, Paul says, it's the mystery, the dispensation of grace. The dispensation there means that Paul was a steward of that grace. He was a minister of that grace. He taught what that grace was. He said that grace teaches us. Peter and the other apostles were commanded to make disciples of all nations. When you look at Matthew chapter 28. Verse 18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. What was used to make disciples? It was the gospel. When you look at Mark 16 and verse 15, go into all the world and preach. Here was given to the 11 at this time. Go into all the world and preach what? The gospel. Peter says that's the keys. Paul says in Romans 1 verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, of that mystery that was revealed to me. And so that's what he taught likewise. As Paul preached, the apostles have preached, they preached to both Jew and Gentile. In Acts 2 and verse 38, we're told there that those who asked the question, what must we do to be saved? That Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. That was the key that was given. That's how a person is reconciled to God. When you go to Acts chapter 16, verse 30, the jailer there says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What did Paul tell him? He took him the same hour of the night and he baptized him. The mystery was no different from the keys that Les is making, if you will, the distinction in. And as we close, if you go back to Ephesians chapter 3, again, as we look at this, the idea of context, it's that which precedes or comes after something that influences the meaning of what the writer is saying. Verse 3, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly already written already. And he says, of that mystery, in verse 4, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. What was that mystery? It's the same thing that Peter received, how man is reconciled to God. Paul says, you can have my knowledge. Titus 2 and verse 12 says that God's grace teaches. Teaches what? Knowledge of how we're reconciled to God, both Jew and Gentile. What did the apostles preach in Acts chapter 2? They preached the mystery of grace. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of man, as has now been revealed by the Spirit to whom? To the holy apostle. This mystery was revealed to the holy apostles and prophets. In other ages, it was not. It was a mystery to them. And Paul says that it was revealed in these last days. When you look at 1 Peter, we see almost the same meaning there that Paul is having reference to in 1 Peter 1. I begin with verse 10, of this salvation, this mystery, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them, that is to the prophets, he was revealing that not to themselves, but to us, the apostles, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look. Again, these words that Les seems to make are phrases. He says here's the same thing. Peter indicates that it was revealed. It was a mystery. But it was revealed to the apostles. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, this mystery was given to his holy apostles. But Christ told Peter, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And when the moment came, at the right time, during the dispensation of grace, the time that Christ ascended back to heaven, that gospel was preached. The question was, what can I do to be reconciled to God? Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. And they were added to the Lord's church. And so we see, hopefully, and there's other scriptures you can probably turn to, that indicate they're not two different operations, as he makes reference to. But again, it's something you have to look at. Verse 6, as we close, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body. Fellow heirs with whom? In what body? In what place he's went into the body? And partakers of his promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So the keys into the gospel, the mystery is the gospel. Given to the Holy Spirit, and we have those words today written down by the apostles. During this dispensation that God's grace is upon us. But that grace is going to end. As we talk about in the third class, man is without excuse. At one time, man in his life before Christ came was without hope. Everyone has hope in this life now because of the blood that was shed. And when you stand before God in judgment, you're not going to have an excuse because God gave you hope to every man that they could be reconciled to Him. So what are you going to tell your Creator? That you didn't know this? You were unaware of this? You're going to be without hope because you spurned the very sacrifice that was made for you and this word that was revealed. Therefore, place an emphasis. You need to know this word for the danger of what Les is teaching. And there's more false doctrine being taught today, a whole lot more than truth. If you're here tonight, have you been reconciled to God? Or have you spurned that invitation time and time again? Soon you're going to face God in judgment. And He's going to say, what did you do with my son who gave you hope? And as I mentioned, it's no price to us. We didn't have to pay a thing for Him to come. God sent Him because He loved us. And I would tell you what Peter told those. Repent, be baptized, that your sins may be remitted. You can be as white as snow. You can be added to the Lord's church. You can put off those things of the world. And you can live a godly life with the blood of Christ when those times that we mess up, covering those sins when we repent of them. That's your invitation as together we stand and sing.